All right, open your Bibles to Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 5. This is our third message on sound doctrine. The word sound doctrine is found four times in the Bible. Each time it is written for preachers to give instruction on Christian living. And we've been demonstrating that our sound doctrine, our Christian living, is every bit as, if not more important than correct doctrine. And Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, the Bible says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." As we read through this passage, last week we preached a message and dealt with everything in verse 1 and 2, and then in verse 6 and on down through verse 10, dealing with men and how men demonstrate sound doctrine. And in doing so, you know what? It's much more important to a guy out in the world, it's not so important to him that you know that the rapture is coming before the tribulation as it is that you're not flirting with his wife at work. You know, one is correct doctrine, the other is sound doctrine. One is doing things, knowing what we believe and holding to the truths of the Word of God. The other is living out the correct Christian living of the Word of God. So today we're looking at sound doctrine. We'll be looking at ladies and girls. And let's pray, and then we will look at the Scriptures today. Father, we thank you for your Word. God, I know that you have given it, and it is for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And God, it's for doctrine. And Father, I pray that you would help us to learn from your Word. God, we desire as a church body to be the very best testimony that we can possibly be in this world. To live as the salt and the light of the world, because God, that's who you told us to be. And Father, I pray, God, that our men would be leaders in this area. God, that you would help us to demonstrate all of the attributes of sound doctrine. And then, Father, as our men do that and lead in that, I pray that you would help the ladies to step up to the Word of God and determine in their hearts that they want to be Christian women of sound doctrine. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at this. Many Christian ladies could tell about salvation by grace through faith. Many could know that they're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Some may be able to even tell you the seven dispensations. I don't know if I could rattle them all off for you right now. Others may know that in the tribulation, God will be dealing with the nation of Israel, finally to restore them at the end. And all of this is correct doctrine. It's important doctrine. But the question we're going to look at today is, a lady may be correct in her belief system and not have sound doctrine. And we want to look at the Word of God as the Word of God gives us a description of sound doctrine. Next week, I believe we'll be looking at preachers and sound doctrine. And then beyond that, we'll be looking at one other passage dealing with sound doctrine. And we may go one more beyond that, because there's a doctrine that Jesus spoke that the Bible says they were astonished at his doctrine. And the passages leading up to that phrase are amazing passages of Scripture as well. I love the Word of God. I love that it gets down and gets practical. And that's what we want to strive to do here today, is just get practical so that we can take the Word of God and get a good understanding. First of all, we're going to look at the behavior of sound doctrine. The behavior of sound doctrine. We see this in verse 3, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, and teachers of good things. So the behavior of a woman in sound doctrine, it begins with, and we're just going to kind of go through this passage and deal with every one of these words, trying to encourage Christian ladies in a world where Christian ladies are put down. They are, you know, the world just looks at them and tries to disgrace them and tries to make them nothing, where the Word of God honors them. And so the Bible says here that holiness, if you would, turn to Hebrews 7:26. I want to point out, we'll be coming right back to Titus, but the book of Hebrews, chapter 7 and verse 26, Jesus Christ, I just want to point out, Jesus Christ does not ask anything of any of us that He did not demonstrate Himself. So Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26 says this, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." That's who Jesus Christ was. So when Jesus Christ was on this earth, do you think that He demonstrated sound doctrine? See, Jesus knew doctrine. He is the Word, right? But in His life, then, He demonstrated sound doctrine and the Word of God. As we look at the descriptions of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see in those descriptions a list of sound doctrine, things that He did while He was in a human body on this earth. And then He took and He went and He died for us. And then, if that doesn't give Him the right to say, "Now, you that I've died for and you've accepted me as Savior and I've given you eternal life," do you think He has the right to say, "Now, here's how I want you to live"? Does He reserve that right in your life? I hope that you'll give Him that this morning as we look at it. So in behavior, as becoming holiness. Holiness is set apart, and specifically set apart as unto God, set apart for the use of God. So any lady, and especially it starts out with the aged women, and those women are the women that have been Christians longer, the ones that have been down this path. And it says, I want the aged women to set a pattern of holiness, and that pattern of holiness is going to come down and be a demonstration for the young girls that are coming up in the church. Setting apart, saying, I am here, I live, I exist for the very service of God. I exist to be a light out in the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. I exist to be a salt in a world that is sick and hurting and defiled. I exist for that holiness. The Bible says, not false accusers. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. Truth be told, there is plenty to accuse every one of us about without being false accusers, right? You don't got to make something up. Just look around. You'll be able to find something about any person, say, oh, he's wrong in this area. And you know what? Most of it would be true. And we look at it, and you know what? Every one of us has a flesh. And I'll tell you what, it is a battle to keep that flesh under. It is a battle to die daily. It is a battle to crucify the flesh. And we need to look at it and say, you know what? And men, we need to do this. We need to take our flesh and we need to get it down on the ground and we need to strangle it out to where it does not exist anymore, that we might live for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, truth be told, none of us is perfect. We aren't. Don't make up stuff about people. You know, if you got something to say, make sure it's true, first of all, and then determine whether you should even say it or not. But God forbid that ladies would go around making stuff up. And I think, why would a person do that? Typically, when a person accuses someone else, it is typically for this purpose, that they might lift themselves up and put someone else down. Why else would you do false accusation other than to somehow benefit yourself and to harm or hinder someone else? So the Bible very clearly says, ladies, as you go through this life, Ladies tend to be emotional beings. They react more quickly. Men, hopefully, and I tell you what, this is changing too. Men typically are the more stable, emotional beings, and God says to the men to have gravity, stability in their life. Women tend to react more quickly based upon emotion, and that's just the nature of how they're made. And it may be very quick that they get upset at someone, and so they look for something, and they start to spread a rumor about somebody else that's not true, and God says that should not happen. That is not to be done as a Christian lady. It is a demonstration of sound doctrine where you will never bring a false accusation against someone. The Bible then goes on to say, not given to much wine. Now we know that the Bible is very clear about alcoholic wine. The Bible goes in Proverbs chapter 23, and alcoholic wine is to not even be what? Do you remember? Not even supposed to look at it, right? So we're not talking here, well, ladies, it's okay to have a little wine. He says it's not given to much wine. Wine in the Bible is sometimes referred to as alcoholic, and sometimes it's referred to as grape juice. We know that the Bible is against all alcoholic wine. As you read through the Word of God, it's very clear it's not even to be looked at. You know, I try to avoid the aisle in the grocery store that has it as much as is possible. Why? Because God says, don't even look at it, lest you be tempted that you might enter into that thing. You ought to avoid bars and all of those kind of things. But when it says not given to much wine, ladies, wine was a drink for the wealthy in the Bible. It was a drink that the wealthy people could afford, and most people didn't have the ability to afford it. And so it not only is it don't drink any alcoholic wine, but don't look after just the luxuries of life. Living your life for luxury and demanding that you be able to have the best things of life. Not given to much wine. You know what? The Holy Spirit can comfort us. Jesus can cheer us. And therefore we would have no need of alcoholic wine. Right? It's the world. They go to the bottle for comfort. We have the Holy Spirit of God that gives us comfort. The world, they go to the bottle for cheer. Well, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, there ought to be some cheer in that. You know that He's coming back again. There ought to be some cheer in that. We don't need wine to accomplish those things for us. So we have behavior of sound doctrine, and then there's a doctrine that is to be taught. Now, this is part of behavior, but we're going to look secondly at the teaching of sound doctrine. You know, everyone is a teacher. Everyone. Everyone has someone that's looking at you, and you are teaching them, maybe not in a classroom setting, but you are teaching them by your lifestyle. You know how children learn? They watch. You know, you don't hardly have to teach a child to walk. They watch you doing it and they do it. How many of you taught your children to say every word that they have learned? We don't do that, do we? They learn it by listening to us, just by hearing us. They pick it up. Children pick up things that parents do, that parents, sometimes you look at it and say, I got to break that habit before my child picks it up, or my child's starting to pick that habit up. I'm going to break that habit because I don't want that habit in my children. And so we look at teaching. Everyone is a teacher. So to teach, verse 4, that they may teach the young women. So older women are to teach the young women. They're to demonstrate a lifestyle before them. They're to teach them by word and by deed and by action. And they're to teach them to be sober. Now we looked at sober with the man last week, but it's to be in control of your thoughts and emotions. To be right-minded. To be in your right mind. And ladies, God can give all of you the ability to walk in a right and holy mind. Now, if you spend too much time on Oprah and Ellen, you're probably not going to have a right mind. You're not going to have right thinking. because those are not spiritual people. They are ungodly people. We need right thinking based upon the Word of God, and our sobriety comes from having a mind that is grounded in the Word of God, saturated in the Word of God. The Word of God permeates to every piece of your mind so that you are operating according to the Bible in everything that you do. Sober. The next one, it says, teach them to love their husbands. To love their husbands. Now, this is not a lesson on how to love their husband. I have never met a person who was in love that could not find a way to demonstrate that. Right? You know what? Some of the older men, we could probably do with some lessons on how to love our wives and how to demonstrate that better sometimes. But you know what? You look at a young couple just married, and they find ways to demonstrate their love to one another. Why? Because they're in love. It's fresh. It's new. There's a zeal to it. And they don't need a demonstration on how. But people do need a demonstration to love their husbands. To love. You love. Say, but my husband is... No excuses. You love your husband. And the older women, what do? Do you go up to the younger women and say, okay, Hannah, when you get married, you're supposed to love your husband. Well, words are cheap. Actions demonstrate more than words ever could. And the young ladies in this church need to see a set of older ladies that love their husbands. And guess what? If you're coming in and you're talking bad about your husband and the young ladies are overhearing that, that's not a proper demonstration of loving your husband. Your husband should be high and lifted up in your home. Your husband should be honored and respected in your home. Say, well, he doesn't deserve it. No one said that he did. God did not say, teach them to love their husbands if their husbands are lovable. It said, teach them to love their husbands. You know what, ladies? I think if you'll love your husband will probably be more lovable. And that works the opposite as well. It does work the opposite. So teaching them to love their husbands, teaching them to love their children. You love is a thing of self-denial. We have to understand this Hollywood lust is not love. Love consists of a young man saying, I'm going to give my life for this lady. I'm going to take care of her. I'm going to feed her. I'm going to clothe her. If she gets sick, I'm going to make sure that she is taken care of. That is love. It is self-denial to do that. The opposite is true for a woman to say, you know, in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer. There's many a woman that says, for richer. Someone said that you could have four or 16 wives, four richer, four poorer, four... That's a bad joke. Four richer, four poorer. Anyway, but you look at it, many women come to the point where, hey, while everything's going good, while the husband's bringing in the dough, everything's fine. He loses his job and all of a sudden she walks away. That's not love. That's not loving your husband. Loving your children, the next thing that comes by, you're making sure that they're not neglected. They're not abandoned. They're not handed off to someone else. Love is self-denial to the benefit of another. You want to take a demonstration of love right out here by the flagpoles, and nobody mess with them. They are Brother Brown's pride and joy out there. We got Grandpa Brown. Did you know that Grandpa Brown has a new grandchild out there by the flagpole? There is a nighthawk out here by the flagpole. It's been there every day for about 6 weeks. That nighthawk sits there in the hot, blistering sun. It sat in one place in the hot, blistering sun every day waiting for that baby to hatch.
I mean, it was hot.
Brother Brown walked by. He didn't know it was there. First day he walks by dragging the flag across, and as he puts the flag up, all of a sudden he hears this kind of a hissy type noise, and he's like, what in the world? He looks down, and there she is. She did not move. At the peril of her own life, not knowing what he would do to her, she did not move from that egg. Pretty soon, we see this little head pop up out from Mama. And there's two of them. And when that baby got big enough to move, that Mama, she moves around the flagpole trying to stay in the shade. But that whole time, then, when it was just an egg, she sat there in the blistering sun in that one spot. You can go out there and look. She will not leave that baby. You could reach down, don't you dare, but you could reach down and you could touch that nighthawk. And at peril of her own life, she's not leaving that baby. Oh, that humans could practice that same love for their children. Oh, that a human could understand that level of self-denial for their children. God says, love your children. Don't look for the opportunity, oh, I'm going to pass them off on whoever I can, whenever I can. You know what? If you teach your children right, you'll actually like to be around them. And they're a joy to be around. If they grow up spoiled, rotten, and undisciplined, well, those are the parents usually say, I'm one away from here. You know, we got to make sure you teach them right. They'll be enjoyable to be around. Love them. You give your life for years for the sake of those children growing up. And the older women need to demonstrate that to the younger women. You're teaching them how to love their children. And it goes on, verse 5 says, to be discreet. To be discreet. Wise. The word discreet means wise in avoiding errors and evil. Have some ability to determine right and wrong. We need some discretion. You know, there's a lot of pastors that lack discretion in this world. And there are ladies that lack discretion. I saw within 30 miles of here, a church had a vacation Bible school. And guess who showed up? They brought out two of their church ladies. One was dressed as Wonder Woman. And one was dressed as Leopard Woman. In their costumes, and they brought them to the Bible school in the church in all of their immodesty. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, Wonder Woman, first of all, she's very immodest. Leopard Woman is very immodest. And then you've got the fact that Wonder Woman, you know, cries out to her god, Hera, or Heron, or whatever it is, idol worship. What does that have to do with church and Bible school? And what woman would dress up like that ever, let alone dress up like that and come to Bible school? Where is the discretion? There isn't any. It's gone. It's missing. And you know what? Somewhere along the line, the older women didn't teach the young women, you need to be discreet. You need to have some discretion. Discretion can go into multiple areas. You know, when the vacuum cleaner salesman comes to your house and knocks on the door and wants to sell you a vacuum cleaner for $5,000, you need some discretion. Okay? But it also comes into everything that you wear and what you do and where you go and how you talk and what you do with your children and all of this. God willing, we need ladies to teach younger ladies to show discretion, and that discretion leads right into the chaste, and that's not C-H-A-S-E-D. Young women are not to be chaste, they're to be chaste. Okay, chaste means pure, holy, pure and holy. So we look at this, you know, the Bible refers to a chaste virgin. What is that? It's a pure, holy young lady who's never known a man. The Bible refers to chaste conversation or lifestyle. That's having a lifestyle that is pure and holy. Ladies need to be taught to not flaunt themselves. Have some decency. Cover yourselves. See, chaste and discreet go right together. They're right there. Discreet and chaste, right there together. have some decency, cover yourselves. You know, 40 years ago, there was still enough godly influence in this country that girls were taught to be ladies. They were taught to sit like ladies. They were taught to walk like ladies. They were taught to talk like ladies. Now, the vulgarity that comes out of a mouth of women sometimes is even worse than men. Thinking, what happened? Somewhere along the line, the older failed the younger. The older generation failed the younger generation to teach them to be chaste. Now we've got mothers that dress their little girls like boys, and the ones that don't dress them like boys want to dress them in short skirts. Why would you do that? You should teach her to be chaste. Then they go to school and they're taught about sodomy and gender identity. It's a wicked world that we live in. And these young ladies, they need to be taught to be pure, to be chaste. We live in a day and age where pastors advertise their church doesn't care what a woman comes dressed like. They don't care if a woman comes, and they advertise it on their websites. We don't care if you come in modestly. And it's probably because the pastor doesn't have the biblical sense to teach his own family how to be modest. Where have we come in this country? You know what? You think about this. If Monday afternoon, I just want to put this out there as a drastic thing. Monday afternoon, if I walked into Fairway in a dress, how many of you would remove me as pastor before the weekend came? All right, that pretty much is almost everybody. You'd keep me? You wouldn't keep me. Think about it. You'd run me out of here so fast, I wouldn't know what hit me. Adam's saying, yep, we sure would. And any person in their right mind would. Why? Well, one, it's disgusting. Two, it's immoral. Three, it's perverted and wrong. Four, it's an abomination to God. And you think about it, why is it any different? You know, just like you think it would be disgusting to see me walk around in a dress, and it would be. A spiritually minded person thinks it's disgusting for a girl to walk around in a pair of pants. A spiritually minded person is going to think that way. And it's been said that one of two things, either it's disgusting or it's provocative. And ladies, you don't want to be either one. You don't want to be either one. We think about our testimony and the ability to let our light shine for the world. This world is against you, ladies. It really is. The Bible's for you. It really is. We're going to keep on and demonstrate. Let me say this, guys. You take a young lady who's pure and right. Don't you do anything to disturb the purity of her mind. Don't do anything to disturb the purity of her mind. You know, men, ladies work hard to bring a little girl up and train them. Don't do anything that would corrupt that mind. I've got to say this, if you shouldn't be doing it, you shouldn't be talking about it. Okay? If you shouldn't be doing it, you shouldn't be talking about doing it. And if you just keep that as a guide, I'm not supposed to be kissing her, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not supposed to be doing this, we're not married yet, we're not even going to talk about it. Why? Because if you're talking about it, you're thinking about it, if you're thinking about it, the Bible says if you think about it, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we've got to keep the purity and the chastity of these young ladies all the way through their lives. It goes on and says, keepers at home. Keepers at home. So the older women are teaching the younger to be keepers at home. Let me give you a demonstration of the world and their viewpoints. You look at a modern woman who is free from the Bible. Her description of the Bible would be a book which was written by men who were women haters. First of all, God gave us the Word of God, and He does not hate women, He loves them. He loved them so much that He gave His Son to die so that they could be saved, just like He did for men. God is not a woman hater, nor were the men in the Word of God women haters. But you take this woman who is free from the Word of God. She ignores what it has to say. She gets up at 6 o'clock. She has to have her hair all done and her makeup all on. Things that she may not do on the day off for her husband. She rushes to the car. She drives off and goes, fights traffic to get to work. When she gets to work, she obeys her boss for the next 8 hours. She gets back in her car, goes through traffic to get home, and she declares herself to be a liberated free woman. Now you think about it. You look at the opposite. The second woman has a husband. She's going to be a keeper at home. She has a husband that gets up early. He goes off to work. She gets to be at home with her children. She gets to take care of their needs. He brings her home money for food. He pays the bills. He provides her with transportation. He gives her a refrigerator, a washer, a dryer. He actually has very few demands of his wife. This woman is declared by society to be in bondage. Do you get that? Is there any comprehension of that? I don't get it. I really don't get it. But that just shows the world's gone crazy. This is free and this is bondage? It's quite the opposite. God planned the very best for ladies. Then the world's women sit at home listening to the women on the television. The women on the television, they're telling them how mistreated they are and they should go out and get a career. And so they're going to listen to the woman on the television because she knows everything. We need a mind not saturated with TV. We need a mind saturated with the Bible. It continues to go on. It says, teach them to be good. Teach them to be good. Why do they need to be taught to be good? Because no one naturally is, right? Anybody know anybody that naturally is good? My children weren't. They were naturally bad. You have to teach them to be good. And when you see a good baby and people walk up, oh, it's so good that you got an easy one. Probably a lot of work went into that baby if they're a good baby. Babies have to be taught to be good. Young people have to be taught to be good. And good, what is it? It's good according to the standard of the Word of God, not according to the standard of the world. You know, I get tired of hearing people tell me how good some immoral, Bible blaspheming person is. Well, he's really a good guy. He's living in immorality. He gets drunk on the weekends. Oh, he's really a good guy. What? There's nothing good about that. Well, this person's living in adultery, but he's really a good guy. No, he's not. You may describe a person and say they're a hardworking guy. I can take that. You may say they're a nice guy. I can take that. But if they're living in sin, they're not a good guy. And so young ladies need to be taught to be good according to the good standard of the good Word of God. It is a goodness that is not natural. Anybody can meet the standard of good in the world. God has a better standard. It's goodness according to the Word of God. Obedient then to their own husbands is the next one. Obedient to their own husbands. You know, it's amazing. A woman will go to work and she'll obey her male boss. She doesn't want to obey her husband, but she'll listen to that man. What's the difference? Is it the love of money, maybe? Is it the difference between the love of money and submission to God? You know, women in general, you know, men design the most uncomfortable shoes for ladies to wear. And their purpose is, it's because they get them up on their toes and they walk in those high heels provocatively. And the man that designed the shoes knew exactly what he was doing. And you think about it, and women will, they'll wear them because society tells them to. to the point that several years ago in New York, there were women, the heels were so high, their toes were getting shoved together. And they went to the doctor and said, I've got to do something here. He says, you've got to quit wearing the shoes or remove a toe. You know, they chose to remove the toe. I'm not kidding you. Because some man at work demanded that that is the dress code if you're going to come here and work in this place, prestigious place in New York. And yet a husband tries to tell them, well, you need to do this. And all of a sudden there's this knee-jerk reaction. You can't tell me what to do. I'm equal. You know, let's not get equal. How about superior? Where husbands are to honor their wives. You know what? The world's the one that wants to debase you. Not your husband. Not your Christian husband. You got the male fashion designer that tells the whole female culture what they should wear so he can lust after them. See, that's what's going on. Turn to Isaiah 3. Isaiah chapter 3. Let's read this, verse 16. And on down, moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing, that means short steps, as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. I'm not going to try to demonstrate this for you. You get your own mind about it. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the heads of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their cauls, and their round tires like a moon. I've got a bit of a spare tire. I do not know what the round tire like a moon is. It's something that they were wearing. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers and the bonnets and the ornaments of the leg and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings and the rings and the nose jewels and the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. Sounds pretty uncomfortable to me. Why would a woman subject herself to all of that? Because the world tells them to. It's amazing what the world can demand. But the Bible says a woman's to obey her own husband. In verse 24 it says, and it shall come to pass that instead of a sweet smell there shall be stink, instead of a girdle a rant, and instead of well-set hair baldness, instead of a stomacher a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. What happened here, the ladies of the nation of Israel, they abandoned God for all of the frivolities of the world. And God says it's not going to last. You're going to lose all of these things plus all of your natural things as well. Thirdly, the blasphemy caused by the lack of sound doctrine. The Bible says at the end of verse 5, it says, all of these things, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Do you know the world belittles the word of God? The world thinks nothing of the word of God. The world doesn't even demonstrate. That's because Christians are no longer demonstrating the power of God to change a life. The power of God to keep one living right. The power of the Word of God that demonstrates what a right family ought to be. You know, in three of the four passages that deal with sound doctrine, it talks about having a good family, this being one of them. But it talks about a family and the right relationship between a husband and a wife. You know, the unsaved people have an expectation for Christians. And when Christians live like the unsaved, it diminishes the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is blasphemed. The word blasphemy simply means to make low. If you blaspheme God's name, you're using it as a curse word. You're bringing it low. And God tells us not to blaspheme. He says the Word of God is blasphemed if men and women, and we dealt with men last week, but if men and women do not have sound doctrine, right Christian living, the Word of God is made low in our society. This really happened. A lady at Fairway was talking to my daughter, and she said this concerning one of the ladies of this church. She says, I found out that this person went to your church, and I was really surprised. So, well, why? Why would you be surprised? She says, because she doesn't dress like most of the rest of the people that go to your church. This was an unsaved person, or as far as we know, unsaved. And you think, nobody really cares. Nobody's watching. Yes, they are. They are watching and they are seeing and they are talking about it. And they do have an expectation because they know the truth of the Word of God. They know, even if they don't like it, don't agree with it, they know the truth of the Word of God. They know what Christians should be and they have an expectation, especially when Christians claim to actually believe the Bible. You know what sound doctrine has? It's this. Sound doctrine has a saved woman loving her husband, loving her children, dressing with discretion and chastity, obeying the man she married, taking care of her house and family, teaching other ladies and girls to do the same. That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? That's what sound doctrine is. And to do anything outside of that is to make a mockery of the Word of God. It blasphemes the Word of God. Unsaved people, on the other hand, they mock marriage. It's not necessary. Do you know, I read this week, 17% of Americans now think that polygamy should be allowed. 17%. Why? Because the Word of God has been laid aside. Because marriage has been mocked. The purity of one man and one woman has been mocked. You've got Christian people that won't stay married to each other. So throw out the whole thing. Let's just do whatever we want. Do you realize 17% is an astronomical number? It really is. Unsaved people mock marriage. Unsaved people mock gender. God made male and female. Unsaved people mock that. Completely mock it. They mock God's biblical order of God and then the man and the woman and the children. And you know what? They feel justified doing so when they see Christian people that don't do it. They're justified. Well, even the Christians don't do this. I don't even claim to be a Christian. And the Word of God is blasphemed. You know, I don't know anyone who divorced due to a change of persuasion concerning the rapture. I have not seen a ruined marriage over a misunderstanding about the second coming of Christ. Families are built and families are destroyed based on sound doctrine. Not correct doctrine, sound doctrine. Based on Christian living, based on the ability to have some self-denial and actually love the way that we ought to. And, you know, God is a great God. And God put together a great system. And God's way is the best way, period. And when you submit to God, you are actually free. You are freeing yourselves from this world system, from sin, from the lust of mankind, from everything that goes along with it. When you turn, when you dress right, act right, live right, you're getting freed from it all. You talk to any family, you talk to any lady who has, and there's a freedom there. You know what? I don't have to be manipulated by this world system. I'm glad I'm free from advertising. The advertisements come, the advertisements go. I go to the store, I buy what I need and don't care about the rest. People who teach their children to be free from advertising are really freeing their children for the rest of their lives. When we succumb to all of that, and my child's got to have the next best thing all the time. New ones, fidget spinners. The fidget spinners aren't wrong, but what in the world do you need it for? I mean, oh, something to waste money on. I don't need a fidget spinner just because they're popular. Guess what? 5 years from now, they won't be popular. There'll be something else. Actually, probably 6 months from now, they won't be popular. They come, they go, people make millions because of the advertising. Let's just hold high the Word of God. Let's just say, God, I want to be a Christian of sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Stand to your feet, please. We'll have an invitation. I know it wasn't a salvation.